InfoWars. I'm Laura Logan, filling in for Alex Jones. And one of the things that was making kind of news across social media was on the 1 year anniversary of the very very strange but devastating fires in Maui is another strange story that the FBI and local law enforcement have now confirmed that they found, they're investigating IEDs that were found around the area. And, you know, anybody who remembers that and looked at what those fires really looked like still has significant questions about what really happened there. It's a year later, and the devastation to that community has pretty much been glossed over and forgotten. So we just wanted to remind everybody that we're looking at a year since the devastating fires in Maui, and something still really odd that these IEDs are coming up. Makes you want to ask the question, is somebody trying to get rid of these people? Is anybody trying to force these people to abandon that island? Because they sure have been through a lot, and we know absolutely nothing about what really happened there all this time later. Okay, so now moving on from that, for our next segment coming up, we're going to talk to somebody that I have known for a number of years, who works very closely alongside law enforcement in the counter-trafficking arena. We can't show you her face because she works undercover, and we have altered her voice to protect her identity. But I am very familiar with her operations. She has been responsible for some of the most significant busts in the history of counter-trafficking. And her work on the front line is something that will change how you look at all of this. And if you're a mom or a dad, it's really going to bother you a lot. One of the areas I want to start with is media grooming. And I want to show you an article from the Guardian newspaper, which is a leftist publication out of the UK, that is all about furries. Okay, and furries is something kind of odd, kind of weird. Nobody really wants to talk about it in the mainstream, but it is very much part of the gaming community. It's part of the TikTok world and the YouTube world, and it's part of what surrounds all of our children today. And so what you see is a form of media grooming that was published in the Guardian. I'm calling it media grooming. That's the term I'm making up, because this article is all about how there's nothing to see here. You know, just because you got a bunch of adults dressing up as furries, don't listen to those far-right people that tell you that this is somehow connected to trafficking and the trans movement and pedophilia, because they're far-right crazies, right? And we all know that you know, we should pay attention to them. Lest you be called, you know, prejudiced in some way. But why I wanted to bring this to you is that our next guest has seen the other side of that world firsthand, and just in the last few days rescued a young boy from that world, who was autistic, by the way, because it's another thing we don't talk about, how much these communities prey, how much the trafficking is targeted towards the most vulnerable of our kids. So I want to bring in our guest here to tell you, to give you a sense of the reality from her perspective, what she has actually seen on the street. Do we have Jackie? Is she with us? Okay.
So yes, Jackie, I'm here.
Jackie, welcome to the show. I know this is a big deal for you. This is, you don't like to be out in front of this. All of your work is pretty much in the shadows, and much of it in the dark, literally. So can you give us a sense from your perspective, right, when you see articles like this that are out there that are normalizing the world of furries, gives a history as it being kind of a nerdy thing, it's kind of a friendly thing, it's a nice community, and why should we pay attention to people who are warning?
A limited edition, exclusive, InfoWars proprietary, 24 karat .999 pure gold collectible is now available in this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art. This is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight-up donation drive, and we may have to do one, but this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And we are back at InfoWars. I'm Laura Logan, filling in for Alex Jones. Our next guest is somebody you will never have heard from, who is a very significant person working undercover alongside law enforcement in counter-trafficking. She knows from firsthand experience what she is talking about. And Jackie, what we wanted to ask you about, thank you for agreeing to do this. I know you can't show your face for your own security and also the security of your investigations, but we appreciate being able to hear from you. Can you take us, first of all, right into this world of furries and anime and gaming that is very much a part of the trafficking organizations that you deal with on a daily basis?
Well, I think that you, as a misnomer, have believing in anime and the furry dome is all an innocence, because it is absolutely not. When you look at the most vulnerable of our society, it is going to be children. It's going to be children that are separated from social functions. They have social awareness issues sometimes. We've got kids that are even autistic that are heavily into the gaming community, and that's where we find a lot of the furrydom fantasy, the anime. But the problem with it is that on the adult level, when you're looking at it, it seems like it's just innocuous. It's just people out there having fun. But when you start peeling back the layers of things that are hidden in the chat rooms and in Discord in the gaming community, you start looking at pedophilia. You start looking at the porn, the hentai. And these are very adult conversations, adult materials that our kids are now getting access to because they're connecting with these groups. And they're not innocent. It's actually very dangerous. And we're seeing it a lot in trafficking, because they're pulling kids in. They're getting them to chat with them. They're building these fantasy type of relationships. And these kids believe that these are their friends, that they're part of this chat tribe. And the next thing you know, they're running a have to go meet them somewhere. And that's where things get really, really squirrely and scary when it comes to trafficking.
So you're talking about, you know, the furry world, right? On the surface, it looks like there's nothing that there really for parents to worry about. But that's right adjacent to the anime world. And then you mentioned hentai. And can you explain what that is for people who aren't necessarily familiar with that kind of terminology?
It's anime, and it's extreme graphic sex. And it's, you know, sometimes there's AI-generated pictures in there. And when it comes to the fantasy world of what these people see and what these people interact with, you know, even in the furry world, you could be dealing with somebody that just likes to dress up in costumes and go to Comic-Con. It goes from that to people that believe in zoophilia, which is bestiality. It's people that have sex in their costumes. It's people that post cartoon animal characters having graphic sex. It's a different world than what you see on the surface. And most people don't know that this exists unless they actually go out there to research it. The problem is that your kids do see it, and they do have access to it. You could go to open forums on Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and you can see these characters having sex. Graphic sex is uploaded to Pornhub, to the porn channels. It is something that, you know, you take a woodland furry creature, which seems very innocent and cute, and you entice kids to this fantasy world. And the next thing you know, you're looking at graphic sex.
So one of the things we're looking at right here is a Facebook group called Furry Love, right? Which is about, which is all about furries and a furry community. We had to blur it out because it's this is an artist drawing that somebody in that group created, but it's too pornographic for us to show on air. And if you read the conversation that, you know, below, you see that they're talking about furry communities on Discord, but also talking about people who are disabled and asking questions about that, raising it. I think there's one term there's the ADPL or something, as adult baby diaper love, ABDL. I mean, and one of the users in that group makes the point that there are minors in that group. And so how common is this on social media sites like Facebook?
Well, you can pull it up probably now. I would say anywhere between 50 to 60 groups that deal with this. And that's just Facebook. A lot of your minors aren't even on Facebook. They're on Snapchat and TikTok, but there are a few that probably trickle in there. But the fact that they even have a minor engaged in this conversation is what's disgusting. Because if you take an average person or not, you know, when we talk about kids talking to adults about sex, it's, you know, it's exploitation. But in this furry community or an anime, I'm not sure why we're not doing more of a target, you know, and looking at the sources of where this information comes from and watching some of these people that want to engage with minors. You know, it's peeling back the layers and looking at these people and where they are in the gaming community and talking to these kids on Discord and getting into chat rooms. And then you go back and you look at some of the conversations that they have on other platforms and the things that they describe. They describe hypnotizing minors, that they describe having sex with minors, doping minors, sexually assaulting minors. And, you know, that might be part of their fantasy, but what happens when they break out of that fantasy and they next level it up and they can no longer be sexually gratified by talking about it or drawing pictures or creating images in AI, and they act out, you know, with that minor. That's what we really need to be watching and need to be concerned about.
So, Jackie, I mean, your point is not that every person who is a furry is a pedophile. I'm far from it. What you're trying to say is that what you are saying is that this community, right, is used as a cover by people who are pedophiles, and they use this is this a form of grooming? Is that what we're looking at?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, you have to think about people that try to connect in with minors, right? And you find them at all levels of, you know, minor activities and minor interests. When you look at the gaming community and kids that are, you know, the gaming world becomes their social outreach. Those become their online friends, almost their family. And they start having conversations about transgendering and the sex and gender modification. It goes into a very weird state. And when we've looked at some of these gaming developers, and we've looked at some of the people interacting with these kids, that's exactly what they're part of. And they're using this furry world or this anime world to connect with these kids. And then they start having conversations with them about sexuality and, you know, misgendering and gender dysphoria and gender modification, which absolutely has nothing to do with the game that you're playing online. So they've used this as an inroad. And no, I'm not saying that everybody in that community, you know, is part of this pedophilia network, but the pedophiles have absolutely found a way in. And they found you could be in a living room with your kids and you're on the computer and they're on their computer and you think they're just playing a game and these monsters are in your living room. That's what's scary.
Yeah, so that is very scary for any parent, because look at this, what we got up here. Bucks County man ordered held trial on child rape charges during furry party. So this is what's interesting about this case is it shows you how it's adults dressed as furries having a party that are passing around this 8-year-old boy who was raped repeatedly over a number of years. And there's a bunch in that thing. There's a bunch of other men who were charged, and that one of them was charged with child rape, possession of child pornography and related charges. Another one in that group of pedophiles charged with unlawful contact with a minor and attempted involuntary deviant sexual intercourse. I mean, you know, statutory sexual assault related charges. Another guy in that pedophile ring, involuntary deviant sexual intercourse with a child, unlawful contact with a minor and related charges. And another one charged with bestiality and animal cruelty. That's another pedophile in that ring, in that bust of men who were using, dressing up as furries and raping children and animals at these furry parties. And that's, you know, that's a reality, right? In fact, at Comic Con, you mentioned that early on, there was just a trafficking ring was busted at the most recent Comic Con conference. There were a number of people arrested, and I believe 10 victims, at least one of them a 16-year-old girl, who was freed when they broke up that pedophile ring at Comic Con. So what you see here is a pattern where traffickers are using, you know, comics, anime, the furry community, transgenderism. Everything, this is, it's a community that they can infiltrate, and they target the most vulnerable. And parents have no idea that when they open the door to these worlds, they are opening up the door to some of the most evil people on earth. Is that accurate?
It's very accurate, and it's something that I think the community that works in anti-trafficking needs to start discussing. They need to start taking this more seriously. This is not a victimless furry party where we're just all dressing up and being weird. You know, adults have, you know, different levels of kink. We know that they have fetish parties all over the United States. We know they have fetish clubs. You know, adults can consent. But when you start going into a world of children and minors, especially minors that may have social skills, past abuse issues, or might be had a spectrum disorder, and you are gaining their trust, and you're acting out on these games as these characters, and you're engaging in this false narrative world, and you're using, you know, cute little furry one of them creatures to cartoon, just something these kids can connect to that gives them a safe space to be themselves without having to go to a party, and they're accepted, and these people gain their trust. It's what pedophiles do. It's what traffickers do. They groom children, and they find the most vulnerable in our society, and they find a window in, and nobody is paying attention to this.
And let's
and
talk
really
about
need to be paying attention to this.
Let's talk about the one thing that is probably the most underreported about this. Is how much boys are the target. I know you were just involved in the rescue of an autistic boy, and that prompted you and I to have a conversation about this. There are different categories of boys, right? You have femboys, BOI, and you have twinks, right? Which is another form. Can you just explain what these categories are and what they mean, and how vulnerable boys are in particular?
For some reason, this fandom targets boys more than they do girls. And most people don't understand in the world of trafficking that a trans kid or a trans person will garner 3 times the amount of a normal child as far as money. And the number one purveyor of that is couples. So that sounds bizarre, I know, but it is something
couples,
that we see
wait,
far
you gotta,
more.
Wait, Kelly, you got to take a moment there. I just want to be clear. I understand this. So trans kids are worth 3 times what a normal kid is, a heterosexual kid is on the street in the trafficking world right now. Is that right?
Correct.
And the number one Correct. Customer that is hiring or buying trans kids is married couples?
Yes, that's correct. And the fantasy part of this is they have a boy that has transitioned to a girl, and The third boy is a sissy boy, and if you get it, I guess in those terms, and then you have your what they call a twink, and that is usually just an effeminate boy that is not necessarily identifying as a female, but it's a challenge for them to break, and that becomes a really hot item and a hot target for them. They like taking what they call a twink, and turning them or having sex with them as part of this very sick fantasy that they have. And you will see offers for this in the trafficking world and escort apps. And when they talk about twink, that's not a nice term. It is a boy. But we see that boys targeted far more in this realm than girls. Most of the time when people talk about trafficking, they think of it as being minor females. When it comes to this world of transgenderism and twinks and femboys and furry culture, the biggest target is actually boys.
And what do you do with boys? Is there anywhere for them to go?
There are very few safe houses out there for boys. They need to have more. They need to actually look at developing safe houses that would be one person units for the trans. His gender kids, they do need a safe place to go because I can tell you that depending upon the age of them, a lot of them are not even being picked up and taken into safety. The 17-year-olds seem to be falling through the cracks because they're considered to be an age of consent, even though they're still in high school. And, these kids don't have a safe place to land. A lot of them end up on the street. I've watched one particular case for the last 4 years. It started out as a minor. They kept skipping around with no place to go. And, they're now adult. And it's sad because they're still out on the street and there's still trafficking. I mean, it's horrible. But, the sad part about this is, as our society has blinders on, and we need to open up our eyes and look at this as not being a harmless activity. Not everybody involved in these worlds is dark, but they are using these worlds, the dark people are, to gain access to your kids. So we need to be monitoring closely those discords, those chat rooms, the games that they're playing, the people that they're talking to, the groups that they're joining, and watch that chatter.
So, what are the number one ways? I know you've mentioned Discord a lot. That's for the gaming community. TikTok, I'm guessing, is a big way. Where should parents be most concerned and most aware?
Well, I think the top three right now are Discord, Snapchat, and TikTok. And the reason I say that is that when we go in and train and talk to kids, we usually talk to them for about less than 3 minutes about the apps that we recommend that they avoid. And then we turn the floor over to them and we basically give them the mic and say, teach us. Tell us where you've been approached. Tell us where people have been inappropriate. Tell us where people have tried to recruit you, where you've seen things that, have offended you or made you feel like people were stalking you. And hands down, every single environment we're in, Discord is number one, followed by Snapchat, TikTok, and then Omegle. And so the kids are the ones that are telling us that this is where they're going, and a lot of them feel unsafe. And this is where we have the predators stalking them in these channels. And as adults, we need to be monitoring these transactions and then finding out who these people are and hold them accountable.
And are any of these platforms held accountable? Would that be something that would be helpful to you? I mean, how do you deal with this? What's the number one thing you want to see happen?
Well, I think social media, becomes so, polarized in politics. And it's amazing to me the things that they will take down off of social media, but they'll leave channels like this up that clearly has cartoon porn. And then sometimes you'll see a blip of human porn on there. And it's an open channel. I mean, yes, you need to join the group, but anybody can log into one of these Facebook groups and they can see the stuff scroll by. They can't comment on it because they haven't joined the group, but they can see it. And if that means that, it's an open channel, that means any minor can see it. And it's not harmless. Anime porn, hentai, furry porn is still porn. And it's still planting a seed in a child's mind of sexual activity and sexual gratification that doesn't need to be there. We don't even be having conversations about heterosexual or homosexual sex with an 8-year-old child.
And would it, what happens to the traffickers? I mean, how much does law enforcement really, how effective is law enforcement when it comes to the traffickers themselves?
I think the traffickers are being arrested, and law enforcement, I believe in a lot of the areas, is doing the best job that they can. The number one thing that I would be pressing for right now is to make these traffickers register as sex offenders, because they are not registering as sex offenders and they're getting back out on the street and they're repeating their deeds. Some of them might switch from trafficking on the street to trafficking online. And if we have them registering as sex offenders, whether they get, you know, 2 days, 2 years, 200 years, we have this penalty attached to them, and now they have to register just like somebody that's, you know, involved in child exploitation. And, you know, grooming online and trying to get kids to meet you and send you nudes, and they should have the book thrown at them just like any other predator. And unfortunately, it's where the trafficking laws need to catch up with the times. We're a little bit behind, but I think we have a lot of good people out there in this movement right now that are seeing this, and we're bringing this awareness to legislators and hoping that we can get some laws passed so that we can start making a real difference. But as a parent, you really need to be monitoring and looking at your child's activity, because the furries in the anime world is not harmless. They can be sucked into a very dark world very quickly because the pedophiles are hiding in there, those channels.
Is this kind of an ungoverned space? I mean, is this something that law enforcement are not really, you know, local police officers are not really equipped to deal with? I mean, how vulnerable are our kids once they get sucked into this world?
Well, a lot of times people look at online activity and they believe that that's harmless activity unless they have actually exchanged photos or asked for a photo or committed a physical crime. And when people are fantasizing openly about raping children or tying them down or drugging them or performing sex acts on them, it's just a matter of time before they level up to the next level, because it's no longer going to gratify them anymore to voice these things and to make all their own self videos. They're going to escalate that behavior, so they do need to be watched for sure. And if they are asking kids for nudes and to perform acts, then they should absolutely be prosecuted for that.
Jackie, what do you say to people who want to paint this as a right wing slur against innocent communities and push back against this and say, you know, there's really nothing to see here?
Well, to politicize this is absolutely ridiculous. I have never seen a predator ask children, how do your parents vote? What church do you go to? What nationality are you? They don't care. They want your children. You know, this is a bipartisan issue. We need to be pulling together because these are all of our kids. And these predators do not care if your parents vote Democrat or Republican. They have basically hijacked the LGBT community by trying to hide underneath their flag. And I know a lot of people in that community that are appalled by this. There's a lot of people out there that are going to do everything they can to bring these monsters down. We just have to pull together and not let them divide us on this topic.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Jackie. We're going to take a short break. We will be back coming up on InfoWars. After the break, we will be discussing Tommy Robinson's latest from the riots in the UK and breaking down what has happened to press freedom and freedom of speech in the United Kingdom. Is that a bad sign for what we can expect to see here in the United States?
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half of my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade. right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combine it with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew. I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic vocal fry cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming at Real Alex Jones on X.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones here with a call of action, a call to action for all the patriots out there watching or listening to this transmission. We can't fight the globalists without your support. And I can't think of an organization or group out there other than President Trump that has had more of an effect against the New World Order than this operation. And that's because of the grace of God and your support and our intrepid crew. And I'm asking you now at a critical time going into this election when the enemy is trying to shut everybody down and put everybody in prison to double down and support the broadcast more than ever, to share the articles, the videos, the links, and to get the products at InfoWarsStore.com. So, 2.5 years ago, one of our great supporters and sponsors came forward and said, you ought to sell collectible cards with a little ingot of gold in it. These are very, very popular. And I went and looked it up online. It is very, very popular. It's not an investment. It's a collectible. If you want to get gold or silver and get the best prices on it, that's Dr. Kirk Elliott and KEPM.com/gold. Best group out there, highest ratings, amazing prices, the best. This is a collectible and a memento to know you supported the broadcast. Then the bankruptcy started, and the people that came in from the court said, we're not going to keep outside people's products in here in your store. And they kicked them back to the folks, despite the fact that we'd already sold out of half of these in just a month. Well, now that I'm back in control of the company, and now that InfoWars itself is not in bankruptcy, I am able to offer these again, and this will help keep us on air. InfoWars has teamed up with one of the nation's leading mints to help you acquire this 24-karat .999 pure gold without paying thousands of dollars an ounce. Stock up on 24-karat .999 pure gold in the most popular size of 1/10 gram, an affordable, sleek card that fits your wallet, drawer, glove compartment, and is easy to travel with. They're amazing cards. It's got original art I came up with. It's got the little bar of gold in there. And it just lets you know that you supported the InfoWar. You'll have a historical memento as a keepsake for yourself, for your family, for your children, and your grandchildren. Because this is a historic fight. And this is a true piece of Americana that we have here. So I'm very, very proud of it. Again, we sold out of half of these a couple years ago. They got put back to the company that paid to have them made. Now that I'm back in control, they shipped them back into our warehouse, and the other half are available right now. I would imagine they'll sell out in a month or so. We've only got a few thousand of these left, and I cannot fund this operation without you doing this. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not telling you to buy this as a gold investment. That's not what this is. It's a little piece of gold in there. This is like on NPR, that still gets taxpayer money. They'll sell a coffee mug that costs them $5 or a baseball cap that costs them $10, and you make a $100 donation, and you get that as a memento that you supported communism and the New World Order. I know you don't want to do that. This costs, I think they told me, more than $10 per card, something like that, $10 or $11. And so the other $80-something dollars will go to fund the operation. We need these funds to continue on in the fight. So get your collectible card, your piece of art, with the little piece of gold in it today, and you will help keep us on air. The decision is yours. This is a limited edition. It's something that people like. It's popular, and it's something that's collectible. But regardless, the real value is knowing you stood up for America at such a critical time that myself and President Trump and others are under such massive, massive, massive levels of attack. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and get the exclusive InfoWars Limited Edition proprietary 24-karat 999 pure gold collectible. Thank you for your support. Get this collectible now and help keep us on air.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to InfoWars. I'm Laura Logan, filling in for Alex Jones. Now, there's a subject that Alex and I talked about a little bit this morning, something he's discussed a lot on this show, and that is what is happening in the UK, because Europe, we've talked a lot about the border during the last few hours, and what we're seeing in Europe is the result of an open border policy in to immigration in the United Kingdom and across Europe. So we want to show you there's an analysis that came out on British TV, I believe it is, that sums up what has been happening from the perspective of ordinary people who are being demonized in the United Kingdom by the media and by their leaders, incredibly, as being far right, just because they want to ask questions and speak up and demand security for themselves and their families. So we're going to show you that video here, if we can pull that up and play that for you, so you can take a listen and hear it for yourself.
I think that there is a concerted attempt now to pull the wool over your eyes about what's really going on in this country. You were told to expect 100 far-right protests last night that whipped up a huge amount of fear. One of the people whipping up some of that fear, arguably, was the director of Hard Left Hope Not Hate Group, who this morning tweeted, "Yes, this list," i.e. the list of locations that were expected to be attacked, "this list was a hoax. But just look at the front pages of today's papers. An anti-racist message is being transmitted to millions of homes this morning. Well, he later went some way to retracting that tweet. But let's just have a look at those newspaper front pages and headlines, shall we? So I strongly suspect that the Daily Mail and the Daily Express came under huge commercial pressure here, don't you? Then, this morning, out strolls our Met Police Chief, Mark Rowley, like the cat who got the cream.
It was a massive policing operation. I'm really pleased with how it went. And we put thousands of officers on the streets, and I think the show of force from the police, and frankly, the show of unity from communities, together defeated the challenges that we've seen. And it went off very peacefully last night. A couple of locations, we had some local criminals turn out and try and create a bit of antisocial behaviour, and we arrested a few of them. But it was a very successful night, and the fears of sort of extreme right disorder were abated.
Right, firstly, we can't call what happened last night counter-protest, because there was nothing to protest about, was there? What was it? The ghost of the EDL, was it? Secondly, the country's top cop has just given the green light to people to come out in force on the street and mob up, in my view. We saw very hard-left radicals there. That's according to their flag that they've got. They were out in Brighton. There was a huge pro-Palestine presence, the same group of people who have been rampaging through towns and cities for months now, causing all sorts of problems. And then there was this.
Hey, we've got children and women using those trains just doing some relatives. They are disgusting, nasty factors. And we need to hold their throats and get rid of them all.
That is a now suspended Labour councillor who has just been arrested on suspicion of encouraging murder. And there was this as well. There have been 10 arrests in Croydon, and we're told, look, hey, don't worry, that was nothing to do with any riots or protests. That was just antisocial behaviour. Yeah, all right. So, what happened last night appears to have been a massively exaggerated national threat that brought loads of people out onto the streets with these placards everywhere as well. You know, the same placards you see all the time, refugees welcome, all of that. Refugees welcome. The establishment media then piles in behind it to make it look like the nation fought off the Nazis. And now we've got this going on, haven't we?
We have some breaking news now, and a woman has been arrested by Cheshire Police in relation to an inaccurate information on social media about the attacker in the Southport murders.
And today, Sir Keir Starmer feels that he can shamelessly ignore people's concerns about immigration and just crack on.
If we have indeed turned a corner and seen an end to the violence, is now the time to engage with the underlying tensions that are in communities over the issue of immigration?
The first priority is safety and security of our communities.
The term gaslighting is defined as being to manipulate people using psychological methods into questioning their own sanity or powers of reasoning. I think we might be being gaslit. What about you?
So what about that when you're watching that video about what's happening in the UK feels familiar with for Americans, right? How does it tie in to what we're seeing happen here? Well, immigration is an issue there. Border security is an issue. And what are they doing to crush the conversation about border security? They are creating a humanitarian crisis. They're making it a humanitarian issue. We love refugees. Can you not love refugees and want to be secure in your homes? I know you can, because I've spent years reporting on the southern border. And something that we don't talk about a lot is that the vast majority of Border Patrol agents, people involved in border security down on the southern border in the state of Texas, for example, are Hispanic Americans. Many of whom, are first or second generation, whose families came here seeking a better life, right? And so they recognize the threat that's coming from the cartels, and they want to be secure and safe in their own homes. But what is the propaganda narrative that we have to deal with is that somehow there's this binary choice, and that if you choose security, that's somehow a vote against humanity, that you don't care about people who are coming across who want a better life. But what did we see on the show today? We heard from a Border Patrol agent who gave up his entire career because he realized that he was being used by transnational criminal organizations and the federal government to help traffic children. So instead of bringing them into the United States for a better life, people across this country still believe that everybody coming here is getting a shot at the American dream. Well, what if you're a child that's being trafficked by the cartels, or a woman, many of them pregnant? Just look at Texas law enforcement. They bust open a trafficking ring where women who were 8 months pregnant were having to show up every day to a room behind a gas station to be raped all day by men that they didn't know, until they paid off their debt to the cartels. And guess who decides when that debt is paid off? Yeah, you guessed it, the cartels, right? And so these people are not interested in your well-being. What kind of person would make a pregnant woman subject herself to being raped over and over again every single day? I mean, these are people without conscience who are responsible for this. But somehow it strikes me from the years that I've spent investigating that those who are elected into a position of authority, who have the ability to do something about it and lie to the American people who they're supposed to serve, that there's a level of evil that comes along with that in some ways feels even worse. And what is striking about the conversation in the UK at the moment is that it's the exact same conversation that we're having all over the world, not just in the United States. And that tells you that you're looking at the same policies that are being applied, which is not a surprise because we're in the midst of an undeclared war that is really a war for your mind. And a war for your mind plays out primarily in the information space, right? I mean, that's what we're looking at now, an information war where they can create a reality in the digital world that, whether it's true or not, doesn't really matter because of the impact that it has on your life. So that's what that young man was talking about in the video from GB News. He was saying they created this big warning, right, that there's going to be all these protests, this massive security threat from the evil far right that's going to take place all across the country. And then it doesn't materialize. Well, how do you even know if that threat was real? And this is something that I have watched as a journalist. I have watched this develop in this country for years now, the great white threat. This is something that I have been tracking law enforcement bulletins, intelligence bulletins, or law enforcement sensitive notifications that have gone out to law enforcement across this country that go out every day, and they document the threats that we face. And when you look at the number of postings that are supposed to be about the white supremacist threat, and you take a look and you see, okay, so I got to figure this out, right? I want to know if this is real or not. Where is it coming from? Who's responsible for it? And this is the normal process of being a journalist. But when you take a look at it, what you find a lot of the time is chat rooms, conversations in chat rooms, and photographs of these chat rooms. And why is that not convincing? Well, when you go fast forward to something like the right-wing plot to assassinate Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, right? What happened when you dug a little bit deeper in that case? It fell apart. Right, it fell apart in court, actually. And why did it fall apart? Because it was manufactured. None of the people who were supposed to be plotting to kidnap the governor had any real interest in kidnapping the governor. So much so that even in a time where there's a lot of political pressure to prove this narrative to be true, it falls apart in the court systems. And we know that there aren't a lot of judges lining up to go against the political narrative of the day. It takes courage to do that. And we don't see it often enough. So when you see a case like that fall apart, you know it was really, really bad, right? I mean, that's what it tells you. And you can look at the court records. And, you know, one of these gentlemen who was accused of being a kidnapper, he was homeless. I believe he was living in his parents' basement. And they gave him one of the FBI agents that was, I don't know how they didn't get charged for entrapment, but that was involved in creating this fake plot, offered him a credit card. I think it was about $5,000. It was prepaid, and they were giving it to him to go and buy weapons, and he wouldn't do it. He was that uninterested in kidnapping the governor that he would not even take a handout, okay, from one of these people. So, I mean, it's laughable in one sense, but it's extremely disturbing in another sense, because it ties back to what our guest from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Eamon Blair, said. This is the first time in history, right? Weaponized migration is not new, but it's the first time in the history of this country that we have ever seen the government of this country use that weapon against its own people. And that's the same thing that's happening. It's the same tactic when you talk about white supremacists and the great white threat. And, you know, you condemn parents as domestic terrorists because they're concerned about what's happening with their kids inside the schools. And they want to go to a school board meeting and challenge the people in the forum that we're told we're supposed to use to address these issues. You go there to address them and suddenly, you know, you got the attorney general and the FBI is looking at you as a domestic terrorist. Are you kidding me? And if you think that this is just happening, you know, in the United States, it's not. This is happening in other parts of the world. So again, what do you have? Same policy, same tactics, same people driving it. And what is it? What is the number one control mechanism that they want to use to stop you from speaking out? Well, it's intimidation, right? Intimidation and fear. So if that doesn't work, they're going to threaten you with legal action. And if that doesn't work, I mean, they're definitely going to censor you. We know that that's been happening in the U.S., but what's happening now in the U.K. is you're actually seeing people being arrested for things that they are posting or reposting, right? If you retweet something, you can be arrested in the United Kingdom. And what's so striking about what public officials in the UK have been saying is that they're absolutely certain you're going to be convicted. So I don't know what happened to innocent until proven guilty. They're absolutely certain you're going to get jail time. So they're predetermining what the judges and, you know, what the courts are going to rule in these cases. And they're threatening travel bans. Okay, so they're going to restrict your freedom of movement now. I mean, does this sound like a democratically elected government in the Western world? No, it doesn't. It sounds like something that I would have expected to see in Saddam Hussein's Iraq when I was a reporter for CBS News and I was on the ground in Baghdad during the Saddam regime, right? I mean, are we reaching the point where you're going to have a government minder follow you around to do your reporting? I mean, am I going to be a target? Am I going on some list? Wait a minute, I'm probably on a list already. Actually, I know I'm on a list already because I dared to speak at a Moms for Liberty event, right? To speak up for the type of pornography that they're putting in our schools. And one of the most disturbing things about this is that they want you to believe that if you listen to any of these people, if you take any of this information, if you share any of this information, if you ask questions about what is happening that is outside of the official government narrative, that you are somehow committing a crime. And what is that designed to do? Well, people instinctively pull back when that happens. They want to protect themselves. We know this, right? It's a natural instinct that we all have. And so we, what do? We self-censor. And isn't that great? Because you just removed yourself from the information battlefield. And now they don't have to censor you because you're doing it yourself. And as a journalist, I can tell you, so I've been a journalist for more than 35 years. And I spent around 16 years as a correspondent for 60 Minutes and the chief foreign correspondent for CBS News, chief foreign affairs correspondent. And what did I see around me at that time? It wasn't so much that there was, you know, a little guy sitting there, Dr. Evil, telling you do this and don't do that. It was that people stayed away from stories that were going to cost them their credibility or their career. It just wasn't worth it. Why would you bother, right? There's so many stories to tell out there, so many things happening. Why would you bother? Unfortunately, what has happened since then is we've moved from that into a time where there is very clearly a narrative on almost every subject out there that you're expected to follow. And it doesn't seem to matter anymore what the truth is. Accountability, forget about it. You can... Not only will you not be held accountable, but you will be punished if you don't fall in line, right? So what does that effectively do to our children and to young people? Because today what we're talking about, the thing, I mean, you know, I'm old. I'm getting on there. I'm 53 years old. Okay, I'm in the second half of my life. So I don't really matter anymore. I've been all over the world. I've done, you know, incredible things. I've met everything, one from royalty, you know, to famous people in every discipline that you can imagine. Okay, so what do I matter? I don't care. But I don't matter. My children matter, and your children matter. And now we're being demonized for caring about our children. We're told you got to care about people coming across the border, but don't pay attention to all those unaccompanied minors that are unaccounted for. You know, or we know that from whistleblowers working for the federal government that they've documented 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 kids going to the same address in Houston, Texas, for example, one of many places where this is happening. Don't pay attention to that. Just pay attention to me, right? Just stick to the narrative. And if you don't, we're going to punish you. So what is our message to our kids? Well, if you want to get into college, don't tell people what you really think. Don't tell anyone you voted for, you know, if you could vote, you'd vote for Donald Trump, or you don't believe in abortion, or you believe in God. Don't say that. Don't admit that, right? There, because you're going to be punished for that. If you're honest and you stand up for who you are and what you believe in, you will be punished. You will not be rewarded. And so we tell them to hide, and we tell them to lie to themselves, and we tell them to lie to the people around them. That's effectively what they're doing. They got to do it all through college, and then they got to do it to get a job. Well, you know what? That's not what Alex Jones and InfoWars stands for. That's not what I stand for. I stand for freedom, for press freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. I stand for everything that is represented in the Constitution of the United States and for the constitutional republic that we live in today. And I don't care if they come for me. I think Alex has demonstrated he doesn't care either. And thank goodness we're not the only ones, right? We're not the only ones at the Alex Jones show. You saw that young man in Great Britain, and there are many others. Tucker Carlson is one of them, extraordinary. Hey, one of them is coming up right here at InfoWars. That's Chad Geyser. He doesn't care either. It doesn't matter how much you target him. He's not going to be quiet. And so I just want to say, this has been a lot of fun for me. I don't normally do this. You know, I kind of like to be the long-form investigative storyteller. That's, you know, I'm just a journalist. That's all I am. But I kind of like being Alex Jones just for a moment, just for, you know, for a few hours on one day. And I hope that it's been entertaining and interesting. I hope you learned something, because that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the part of the job we're supposed to do. And I would ask you to join me in welcoming to the show. After the break is going to be Chad Geyser taking over the mantle. I have a lot of respect for him. I have known him for a number of years as well. And I'm pretty sure he's going to do a better job than I have. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. Don't worry. Don't panic. This is not a permanent change. Alex is going to be back. And I know he's doing some special reports this weekend, because that man is a machine. Boy, you can't stop him. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm Laura Logan, filling in for Alex Jones on this Friday, the 9th of August, 2024.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that turmeric does incredible things for inflammation, your joints, your immune system, your whole body. Well, we came out with Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula 6 years ago. And I was wanting to come out with a turmeric formula, so I talked to some of the big suppliers. I said, what's the strongest curcuminoid you have? And they said it's like 75%. Regular turmeric's just raw, 4 or 5% still has a great effect. I said, well, what's the strongest concentrate you can make? They came back a few months later and they said 95%. This is it. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, been sold out for months. Back in stock is 95% curcuminoid. And it does incredible things for your body. You know, my wife's a big sports person. She's in great shape, plays tennis, lifts weights all day. But she has joint pain. And years ago, she was taking these horse pills of turmeric. She'd take 3 or 4 to give her relief. I said, try this. She looked at the back. She said, this is lower milligrams. I said, yeah, but that's because it's concentrate. She took it. She said one pill had the effect of the big four horse pills she was taking. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing product. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's not just the 95% curcuminoid. It's organic spearmint sage, lemon balm, and thyme leaves, pepperine from black pepper. So it's an amazing formula. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. And it could be our last run. They're trying to shut us down. And please don't take that for granted. We get shut down, people go, whoa, he wasn't BSing. On my children, I'm not BSing. We're close to being shut down. We need support right now. Plus, these are great products. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. This is going to sell out. Please support the broadcast. Get in other products. Get T-shirts, books, films. We need support now. These are great products. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your action. InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.